Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got a special Rob rant coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that. I've got some things to say, Joe Rex Road. Some things to say at 7:30.
Well, I look forward to that, and I think your sentiments are shared by many.
I think they are as well. Got the choices yours coming up at 7:45 as well. Gentry Estes to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. So lots to come here in the next hour of the show. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line. David in Arkansas texting in says, could you imagine if Henry doesn't play this weekend, the Titans get the one seed, and Henry makes his entrance into the divisional round, Nissan Stadium would explode. I think they need to play the Undertaker music with smoke as he walks out from the tunnel. This coming from David from Arkansas on the text line.
You know, that's actually an interesting point. Now I think if Derrick Henry played this week, regardless, you know, when they do intros, for the playoff game, like it's going to be crazy in Nissan, right? But is there a little bit more of a, you know, I don't know, a little bit more of a mystery, a little bit more anticipation if it's his first time, you know, in uniform on a football field since he hurt himself, if that's the first time? I think you can make that case.
Yeah, I think so too. I will say this. It'll be fun to be in that building. If the playoff game is the first time he comes back, when they announce that he's coming out there, Nissan Stadium is going to go absolutely bananas out there. And they're just going to go nuts.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's so hard to predict, you know, exactly what he'll be, what he'll do and all that stuff, his role. But that has got to be something too. That alone, just the emotional lift, psychological bump that you get as a team from having him out there, and just the feeling that creates in the crowd. I mean, it's been to me by far, like, leaps and bounds. And I know last year you just take it up. Just let's compare this year to 19 and the years before when they've had good teams. It's leaps and bounds better in terms of the crowd this year. It's been really good. Yeah. They've had the uppers filled, and they've not had a lot of empty seats, and it's been a really good environment on several occasions. But the playoff game should be another level, and so you add in this to that, and it should be something pretty memorable.
So obviously, everybody's feeling pretty good about Derrick Henry right now. The Titans, even without him, have a chance to clinch the one seed coming up on Sunday in Houston. So you would have home field advantage throughout the entirety of your playoff run if you're the Titans, until obviously the Super Bowl comes. My question for you, Joe Rex Road, is if Derrick Henry wasn't playing, what would your expectations be for this group in the postseason? And now that we know that it looks like he will be, at least they're going to try, what are your expectations with number 22 in there now with this team? What is, do you think, a reasonable expectation for the Titans with 22 coming back in there?
It's a great question, and I don't know. I think they're higher. I mean, I just think you have a better chance now. Because look, even if Derrick Henry doesn't come all the way back to the guy who's going to carry the mail and have 30 carries, look at the Seattle game this year, where one big run kind of brings them back into the game. Look at the Buffalo game this year. You know, they're down 6-0, but it really, they're being outplayed, and they just don't have much going on at all. Boom, he's gone. The game changes. You know, just the possibility of him, and it doesn't have to be an 80-yard touchdown run, but it could be a 30-yard screen where he trucks someone and stiff arms someone into the third row, and you get a huge emotional lift from that. By the way, Najee Harris and Nick Chubb both deserve some you know, like honorary Derrick Henry angry run trophies or good whatever. For what they especially the Chubb one. That was,
yeah.
I mean, like Josh Norman was watching that one like, ooh, glad that wasn't me.
Got some flashbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, So I think like, yes, I just think they're higher. I don't know how much higher. It's still with him or without him. Like it's like, I still just expect close games and it could be decided on a turnover. It could be decided on a punt return, you know, just one mistake in coverage, one miscommunication, one strip sack. I mean, it's, they're going to be in close games and it's going to be compelling football and it's, you know, it's going to come down to a couple plays probably, right? But still, like, you feel better about your chances of having a game-changing play or two made by number 22. So that along with just what we've been talking about, which is just the, I just think there's a little bit different confidence, swagger, you know, all that stuff for this team when they have him.
Well, the reason I asked this question is because we have multiple people on the text line, people on Twitter, all across our streaming platforms. Their answer now is Super Bowl or bust. That is the expectation for them as they head into this postseason with the Titans with Derrick Henry back in there. Now, I guess my question is, like, would that have been the expectation anyway based on them being the number one seed and not having Derrick Henry? I don't know. Like, I've said it from the start. I don't think the Titans can win a Super Bowl without Derrick Henry. We've been pretty consistent on that message. With him coming back in there, if you tell me that he even resembles the Derrick Henry that we've seen before, I don't know that Super Bowl or bust is that bad of an expectation. Now, having said that, I think we knew coming into the season that, you know, Kansas City is still a pretty large threat in the AFC. Even when we were talking about, you know, Julio Jones on this team and we had expectations for Julio Jones heading into the season that right now just seemed like such a far cry that I'm not even really, really willing to much entertain him anymore. We were still talking about Kansas City at that point of, all right, do the Titans have enough to beat Kansas City? So look, if you told me right now they got to the AFC title game and Kansas City came in here and they walk out of here with a, I don't know, a 27-24 win against the Titans, can you really be that upset about that with that team? I don't know. I mean, Kansas City's pretty darn good. But there's going to be a lot of Titans fans that do view it that way. Of now that you have Derrick Henry back in here with this window and this team, and oh, by the way, this defense, Super Bowl or bust should be the expectation.
Yeah, well, let's say it just had gone differently here. And it's just like, you know, Derrick Henry's just not going to be able to make it back. But again, we don't know exactly how it's all going to go. But let's just say he's not coming back or we don't know for sure right now. And you're in the same situation. I mean, you're going to Houston to get the one seed, and then you're talking about two home playoff games, you know, to get to LA. I mean, yeah. I still think it's Super Bowl or bust. Your chances aren't as good, but I think that that's got to be the mindset. I mean, you have done some things without him, including going into that stadium where you'd like to return and really making a statement to the league with that win over the Rams. You know, that should give you confidence that you can beat whoever comes in the first week and then give it a run against Kansas City. And then even with him, I mean, if Kansas City's in here for the AFC Championship game and they look like Kansas City in their first two games, who's going to be favored? I'm going to guess that Kansas City is going to be favored.
I'm going to guess they're going to be favored too, but I will say, I think it's such a big deal if you can lock up this one seed to play that game here rather than
I think
totally. It's a massive deal.
No, absolutely. Huge. That's why, even though I know that this week is not for the division, it's not for the playoffs, boy, it is so important. There's such a huge difference. I mean, you are winning another playoff game by winning this game. Winning Sunday, you are winning a playoff game that everybody else now has to earn while you just earned yours. You can't overstate the importance of Sunday. But Super Bowl or bust was – look, the Titans last offseason, really the Titans last two off seasons have been Super Bowl or bust off seasons as well, you know, and for the most part, the team, plenty of ups and downs, some bad weeks, bad losses, but you're talking about back-to-back 11-5 seasons. This one could be 12-5, which is stupid, by the way. I hate the 17-game schedule. Can I get that in there real quick? So I think the mindset's the same, but just the confidence in that slogan is absolutely different with 22.
What are your expectations for this Titans team in the postseason with Derrick Henry coming back? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Talking Derrick Henry returning to practice for the Titans. What does that mean for your expectations for this team heading into the postseason with 22 back in there? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, this is coming from Matthew in Paris, with King Henry coming back, now the Titans have a 1-2 punch in the running game like nobody else in the NFL. This is coming from Matthew in Paris. What do you make of that? With I guess he was talking about Henry and Foreman. That just destroying people. Just yeah, two tanks it's, out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of you know, a power duo at running back that would, like, if I can go way back for you Cleveland Browns fans, Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack.
Oh yeah.
Both with 1,000-yard seasons, by the way, in like 1985 or something like that. But they weren't I mean, they're both, I'd say, like, some level of power back. Like, who complimented Jerome Bettis? I don't even remember, you know. The thing is, though, if Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry, you know, like, it won't be long before, you know, Deontay Foreman comes out for a series and everybody's like, wait, what is he doing out there? You can't give a handoff to anybody but Derrick Henry. But I think realistically, it's got to be a little bit more of a split work mindset. Right, I mean, at least starting out here for Derrick Henry. But I guess if he, you know, if he gets it rolling and he's feeling good, and it's like, hey, he's playing, he's healthy, he's playing, he looks like Derrick Henry. Deontay Foreman may, you know, at some point be like, okay, hey, thank you for your service, Deontay. You know, if this team gets a ring, you get a ring, and that's right. We're giving the ball to 22. But to start, yeah, I would say you're probably going to see some back and forth. Again, that's also a guess that it would be Foreman. I don't know why it wouldn't be, unless you look at Hilliard as just more of a, you know, a compliment. I actually asked Tony Dews about that yesterday too. Tony Dews got just bombarded with all these questions about Derrick Henry yesterday. Poor guy. He handled it very well. But
well, that was before, like, Russini's report too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wow, but he was even talking about – yeah, well, once we get him on the practice field, you know, it's – this is not a big – secret,
no.
You know, that that he would be that the window would be open today. And hey, maybe it won't be. There's still time for that decision to be different. But yeah, the expectation is that he's going to be there, and then once he gets in there, that will be really interesting. Do they? I think it'll be a combo, and then at some point it could just be back to full Derrick. I don't know. I mean, if they do what they should do this week, again, you need to win 3 football games to hoist the Lombardi. 2 of them would be at home. Pretty good.
I got a texter that says, what about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb? First off, I don't know that I'd call that a power back duo. And number two, they're not going to be in the playoffs. So,
right. Yeah, no, I mean, Kareem Hunt is really nice player, but that's a nice compliment. Nick Chubb is a terrific all-around back. Another one of those backs that people were screaming, he's better than Derrick Henry, just like Jonathan Taylor. But Kareem Hunt, nice third down back.
Chris texting in says, we had the Thunder and Lightning combo, the Titans, back in the late 2000s. Yep. I guess this one could be the Thunder and Thunder combo with Foreman and Henry.
Double Thunder.
Well, the thing is, like, yes. I mean,
Thunder Henry's- buddies.
Henry is definitely, good gracious, Henry's definitely Thunder. Henry's also got a little bit of lightning to him as well.
That's right.
That's what makes him so great.
Well, and that's the thing. It's and that's where it's like, a lot of, you know, I think physically leaning on a defense, Deontay Foreman can do that. But look, there have been some runs for Deontay Foreman where I'm sure a lot of Titans fans have been like, man, if that was 22 right there, yep. It's over, you know? And that's the thing. If he gets in there and he's back, then it's like, you know, you're squandering potential opportunities for touchdowns when you give the ball to someone else, you know? So it'll be, and that's probably a question that we're not going to get a clear answer on until we just see how they proceed in the games. But that is a question, is like, if he's back, is there, I mean, why would there be any pitch count? You know, why would there be a limitation? Other than, again, you get the other side of that is the math is every time, you know, just like every time he doesn't get the ball, that's a touchdown you may have squandered. Well, every time he does get the ball, that is another opportunity to re-injure himself. So, I mean, to me, it's like if he's back probably pretty quickly.
I got a texter, this coming from Kenny in Clarksville, saying our running backs have done really good, but I think we have a less likely chance of fumbling the ball with it in Derrick Henry's hand than any other running back. I think recent evidence would prove that is 100% true from Kenny from Clarksville. Derrick Henry does not fumble all that much.
Well, I agree. I just have to think the passing game benefits too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the numbers back up that quite significantly. We went through them yesterday. Yards per attempt, 70 yards less a game without him. The rating, everything, every number of Tannehill's performance went down pretty significantly in the 8 games without Derrick Henry. The rushing numbers were about the same. The passing numbers went down significantly. And it's just, you know, again, it's just like defenses are a lot more worried about what he can do to them than what Deontay Foreman or just about anybody else you could throw in there could do to them.
I got a texter that says, I hope Derrick Henry has been listening to all this Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb talk. I am interested to, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily going to make him run the ball any harder or whatever. It's the playoff. So I would hope when he's back in there, he's, you know, running the ball as hard as he can, which I'm sure he will be. But I wonder what it's been like for Derrick Henry watching everybody say, oh, Jonathan Taylor, MVP candidate, Jonathan Taylor, best running back in the NFL. It's like, huh. They forget pretty quick, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's been listening to some Survivor too, getting pumped up during that time.
I hope.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. Those things. You know, none of that is a slight on Derrick Henry. You know, I just thought the Jonathan Taylor MVP stuff was kind of whatever. Maybe it was the NFL Network. Maybe they have the show. I think it was just sort of like it is a weird year, which is unfortunate if you're Derrick Henry, because you got to be thinking like, gosh, this year, like have last year this year, and you probably have it, right?
Yeah.
But it was never a slight on him. I don't think it was.
Well, I don't think it was either, but I could absolutely see him viewing it that way, or at least convincing himself to view it that way. I mean, we see athletes do that stuff all the time.
This is true. This is true. You know, if you got to this level of athletics, you probably have manufactured some slights against yourself along the way.
Well, and let's be honest, like how often in his career has Derrick Henry been able to like view himself as an underdog? I mean, think about him running over and just picking up children and tossing them aside in high school and then going to Alabama. Like, probably hadn't been able to do that all that much.
Yeah. In Yulee, Florida, you know, some poor, you know, like 5'9", 150-pound cornerback trying to tackle him, you know.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. He did not immediately start Alabama. So
that is true.
There was that. It didn't take long, though. But, you know, he's another thing with all this with Derrick Henry is, and this is different, I think, this year, probably starting last year, but even I think more this year is, no, he has ascended to a very like important vocal role with the team. Whereas I think before it was kind of like he was a great player and other people talked, you know, in those times when like, okay, it's time for a leader to talk to the team. And now he is one of those guys. So that's another thing too, that you add here is a voice that joins like with Byard and Tannehill and some of those other guys to to make a difference in that way.
Ron texting in says, I know I'm getting ahead of myself thinking here, but if the Titans win the Super Bowl, Amy's going to have to buy about two rosters worth of Super Bowl rings for this team. There is that. There's going to be a lot of rings.
I mean, I'd love to see like the, you know, if we could get like a cost breakdown each year of what it costs each owner to buy the rings. I bet you there's a chance to break the record this year just by the pure numbers, you know.
So Super Bowl champion Adrian Peterson.
AP, you get a ring.
That's right.
You know, Golden Tate, you get a ring. John Simon, sure.
Put him in there.
Bobby Hart.
Come on.
I mean, it is a lot of rings.
When we come back, we've got a special edition of the Rob Rant, which appears randomly here and now and then on our show. And I've got a spicy one. I'm fired up about some things that have gone on in the NFL yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next. I'm sure you've probably heard of FanDuel Sportsbook by now. They're making every moment more this season. First off, FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. That means you can place all your bets on a trustworthy app that's also easy to use. And basketball fans, celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook as well. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. So if you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. I told you about Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. Another big-time performance from him last night. Another big win from them last night. Something to keep your eye on there. But they've got great odds boosts and specials every single day. Great live betting options as well. There's no better place to bet on the NBA than on FanDuel Sportsbook. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB. You get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We've got The Choice Is Yours coming up at 7:45. As always, we encourage your participation on that front on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. In the meantime, Joe Rex Road, though, we have a special edition of the Rob Rant. Of course, we have the Rex Rant every Monday morning at 7:45. And every now and then, there are things that happen in the world of sports that I just feel like I need to speak my mind on. And I just need to get some things off my chest. And one of those things happened again yesterday. And quite frankly, this is not really that big of a surprise to me that this has happened. I think I probably said this would happen right after the Aaron Rodgers stuff came out a few months ago. And here we are. There was a report from Pro Football Talk yesterday was where I first saw this. But obviously, the original interview generated itself from 670 The Score in Chicago. Shout out to Ryan Porth with his new radio station. Hub Arkish, who is an exclusive editor of Pro Football Weekly, does a lot of stuff in Chicago, including as an insider with 670 The Score in Chicago. Also happens to be one of the 50 members of the media who vote on the MVP award, and was doing an interview yesterday where he basically said that Aaron Rodgers is not going to receive his MVP vote. And the reasoning behind it was, quote, "I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player." He then, in the next sentence, goes on to say, "Has he been the most valuable on the field? Yeah. You can make that argument, but I don't think he is clearly that much more valuable than Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tom Brady." He later went on to say, "There's no guidelines. We're told to pick the guy who we think is the most valuable on his team, and I don't think it says anywhere strictly on the field, although I do think he hurt his team on the field by the way he acted off the field. They're going to get the number one seed anyway, but what if the difference had come down to the Chiefs game where he lied about being vaccinated and they ended up getting beat?" So that obviously has generated a ton of reaction. He's pretty much coming out saying he's not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP, which, look, I don't really care what you think about Aaron Rodgers. I am fully aware that Aaron Rodgers, the vaccination stuff, was an absolute mess. He handled it extremely poorly. I'm aware that even before the vaccination stuff came out with Aaron Rodgers, I could see where people might think he's a jerk. I have no problem if you don't like Aaron Rodgers. That to me is not what this conversation is about. If you're allowing the way you feel about somebody personally to totally change the way you vote for them in an MVP race, that is a gigantic problem. Like, that is a major problem. And it's amazing to me. He says, you know, I do think that he hurt the team on the field by the way he acted off the field. Yeah, they're going to get the number one seed anyway. But what if they didn't? Like, what if the difference came down to the Chiefs game? Well, it didn't. They have the number one seed. They have the best record in the NFL. So that's this hypothetical game that he's playing, I think, is an absolute joke. So, look, I'll put it this way. I think this is a huge problem. I don't think he's going to be alone on this. And, look, if you don't think Aaron Rodgers deserves to win the MVP award this year, that's fine. If your vote goes to Cooper Kupp or Tom Brady or, I mean, I guess even Jonathan Taylor, whatever. If that's how you truly feel and you feel like those players deserve the MVP vote, then fine, vote for them. I don't have any problem with that. But if the only reason you're not voting for Aaron Rodgers is because of the vaccination stuff and because you think he's a jerk, you do not need to vote on the NFL MVP. And quite frankly, if this is going to be the way that the AP and everybody handles this, you need to change the process on how the MVP award gets voted. Let the players vote on it. Let the owners vote on it. I don't care who votes on it. But if the media can't handle this, take it away from them. That's my Rob rant.
Yeah, it's subjective, you know, right, with MVP voting, right? Like, you got some people say, well, who is most valuable to their team? And somebody like, but no, who's the best player? Who's the best player on the best team? Who's the best quarterback? I mean, it's subjective. There are different ways people think about it, and there's no, like, you must do it like this. So I agree, like, voting for someone else is fine, but the stuff he said was so dumb. And again, like you said, it could have done this. It almost did this. It might have done this. Like, they're the number one seed, and, you know, you know, you can say that he hurt his team with the off the field stuff, but then what does he do for his team? And if you want to talk about value, like, a lot of people do look at it. I mean, take him off the Packers. We've seen that, right?
Yeah, we got a firsthand look at it. It wasn't good.
So, you know, it's. I mean, I agree. It's. We did talk about this. Someone was going to hold this against him. And look, I didn't like what Aaron Rodgers did or said, and I think he deserved criticism, but that's not what this is. This is voting for the most valuable player. So does Ryan Porth have Hub Arkish's number? Like, is
I don't know.
What's up with your guy, Porth? What's up with your guy, huh? Yeah,
what's going on? I just, like, this just comes off as so petty. And look, I know it's the fact that he's from Chicago, I think, makes this even funnier, because it just kind of feels like this is some Bears homer screaming around about Aaron Rodgers. Now, again, I don't think that he is going to be, you know, the only person who does this. Now, do I think Rodgers still wins the MVP? Yeah, probably. Like, I think he's probably going to win the MVP. I think he probably should win the MVP. But to come out and to have that the explanation part of it is maybe the funniest part to me of the – well, I think he do hurt his team on the field. Yeah, I know they're the number one seed, but I think he did hurt his team on the field. It's like, well, what are you talking about, man? It just makes no sense. This is why, you know, look, had the Packers come down to the end and they missed out on the one seed, or, I mean, heck, let's say they missed out on winning the division because Rodgers, you know, wasn't vaccinated. He missed the Chiefs game and all the circus that went around that. At that point, could you make an argument that that decision, you know, wrecked the Packers? Yeah, you probably could, but it didn't. They're the number one seed. So, like, using that as an excuse makes no sense to me. Again, I don't even care about the Aaron Rodgers part of this. It's the, if you're an MVP voter, letting the way you personally feel about somebody impact the way you vote should totally disqualify you from ever voting on this award ever again.
Yeah, well, and look, we've seen this also with, like, Baseball Hall of Fame stuff too. I mean, like, Barry Bonds is an example, like, the personal conflict, T.O. You know, there's examples of, one of my childhood heroes, Lou Whitaker, kind of drew the ire of media during the 1994 strike, and it cost him. It cost him with Hall of Fame votes, which to me is stupid. Like, vote on the information that's relevant. Also, again, I don't like what Aaron Rodgers did. I don't like some of the stuff he said. Bad guy? I mean, do we have bad guy evidence on him? I mean, jerk,
I think so.
And arrogant, fine. But yeah, I don't bad think guy, any
question about that.
Bad guy is that's another step beyond that, Hub. So I think you know he's also gone with the hyperbole here. It's a little bit reckless.
Well, and like, you know, Mike Florio came out yesterday in Pro Football Talk just hammering the guy at the end of it, which it's very rare that Mike Florio and I agree on anything, but we do agree on this thing. It's just such a childish look from this dude. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, since the dude came out and said that, I think he should not be allowed to vote on awards anymore. I'm sure he isn't the only one, but since he made it public, he doesn't deserve to be able to vote. This coming from a texter.
Yeah, you know, he probably won't get the vote taken away, but this is, I mean, he's getting this, though. I'm sure he's taking it in a lot of markets right now.
I got a texter that says, wait, there's no guidelines for MVP votes, so it's basically just a popularity contest?
Well, I mean, you know this, texter. I mean, there's no, you know, you see people vote for different people. I mean, there's no, sure, like, you must, yeah, it doesn't lay out for you how you should go in any of these awards that media vote for. There's no, you know, it's just, here's the vote for, and here's what it's called. And you can interpret that different ways, and people do. But Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP. That's, you know, I believe that. And I also believe that Hub's probably not alone. There's going to be a few people who take this out on Aaron Rodgers. I think those people are wrong. I think you have to separate those two things. You have to put them in two totally different buckets.
Jim texting in says, agree with you, Robbie. Also think it's totally inappropriate to be commenting on the candidates as a voter. You should be disqualified. That's the other thing about this that we didn't really talk about is they're not really supposed to talk about who they're voting for. And I guess by extension, you're probably not supposed to be talking about who you're not voting for either. I mean, that's kind of what the NFL pushes for in these awards as well. I mean, he came out and said it. He's not voting for Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, I guess that's not talking about who you're voting for, but it's certainly talking about who you're not.
Hub Arcus doing process of elimination. He's going to tell us, yes, all the people he doesn't like until we guess who he's voting for.
I am not voting for such and such. This is the list of people I'm not voting for. You narrow it down.
I think I mostly blame Chicago sports homer Ryan Porth on this. You know, I really think Ryan Porth needs to take care of this issue.
Yeah, I think so too. It's, you know, I know it's like day three on the job or him or whatever, but here we are 2 days in and things have already gone off the rails over there.
I mean, I know the Blackhawks and Bears suck, but, you know, can't you guys find anything else productive to do up there? Come on. Come on,
guys. Porth. The Bulls, though, they look good.
They're pretty good. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, I don't recognize that.
Joe's like, sure, no comment.
I'm sure you don't. I feel much better. I've gotten that rod ran off my. I saw this last night, and I was just beside myself. Couldn't believe it.
By the way, I wore this just for the Rob rant. So
just wear vibing Robbie shirt.
Good Rob rant. Yes.
Yeah, Rob, that was great. I love that.
That's a good co-host right there.
Caffeine Rob rant.
Thank you. We appreciate that. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. We welcome your participation as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I, Robbie Stanley, am back in the questions chair this week. Michelle Knezovic, where would you like to start, sports or non-sports?
Let's do non-sports.
All right, let's start with non-sports. The first non-sports question. Where is one place in the United States that you've not been to that you love to visit for a week? One place in the United States that you've not been to before that you would love to visit for a week. Would anyone like to begin?
Michelle, do you have one that comes right to mind?
I feel like the first one that just came to mind was Arizona. I want to go to the Grand Canyon. And a goal of mine is to go to all 50 states. I'm at like 26.
Oh, wow.
But I feel like that would be really cool. I want to do the zip lining in the Grand Canyon and do all that outdoorsy stuff. I feel like that'd be really cool for a week. And then also Arizona weather's not too bad. So, yeah. I think that's what I'm going to go for. Oh, and you can stand in the, right? Can't you stand in that spot where you like touch all four states at the same time? I could knock out four states right there.
Yeah. I went to the Grand Canyon for the first time like last March. It was pretty awesome. Maybe the coolest place I've ever been to in my life.
Why? Have a good choice then. Good.
You do. Joe Rexroad, is there a place that comes to mind for you?
Well, it's funny because I actually have not been to the Grand Canyon, so I could give that as my answer, but I'm also not a huge heights guy, so that won't be my answer. I've pretty much done everything continentally that I'd want to do in Hawaii, so I've got to go Alaska. I'm not desperate to go to Alaska, but I think it would be cool. I would definitely spend a week there and check it out. So yeah, give me Alaska.
I'd like to roam around in Montana for a little while, like, you know, just go hang out and, you know, the Yellowstone area up there, kind of all over the place. Big outdoorsy guy over here. I'd love to go do that stuff.
Do you watch Yellowstone?
You know, I actually don't. I've seen, I think, one episode of it and meant to keep going and just never did. So I need to catch up. I'm like four seasons behind.
Yeah, Katie's huge on that. It's another show she's watched without me and left me behind, but apparently it's very good.
Yeah, I've been told it's like the best show of all time, so apparently I need to catch up on that. All right, moving on to sports. You can hand select an NBA Finals matchup between two teams, regardless of era. Which two are you picking? So two teams that could be playing now. You could have a team from today against a team from the 80s, whatever way you want to take it. An NBA Finals matchup between two teams, regardless of era, who are you taking?
So this is my selfish prove a point answer. Okay.
I think I know where you're going.
It's the best Bulls team. So what would be the best of those Bulls team? Well, it would probably be the 95-96 Bulls team where they got Rodman, that, you know, and they killed Seattle. That Bulls team against, you know, the best version of the current Warriors, which would have to be with Durant. And the reason that I would choose this is because the Warriors would sweep the Bulls and would absolutely annihilate them. And people would absolutely.
Okay, Joe.
We don't have time for the rant here on this. The fact that people don't understand that in 30 years, the skill, the speed, the strength, the everything in basketball and football and any sport you want to pick, that they don't understand how much better it gets is just astounding. I love my Detroit Pistons from the late 80s so much. I love Rick Mahorn so much. Rick Mahorn would be laughed at if he tried to play in the NBA right now. And there are guys like that were all over the league like that back then. It is a totally different level of skill right now. The Warriors would bombard them with threes, and Jordan would be great. But it wouldn't be close, and that's why I would pick that. And I welcome all the hatred on the text line.
I just want you to know the only reason I picked this question was because I knew that answer was coming from you.
You got me all riled up. There you go.
Michelle Knezovic, your NBA Finals matchup between two teams regardless of era.
See, originally, I honestly was going to pick the Bulls, and then I was looking at which Warriors team, which year, but they definitely would not sweep them, Joe. I just do not agree with you on that point, and I see you just making a face right now, holding it in, so just bite your tongue, okay? Just bite your tongue. I'm going to go a little out of the box with this one. I'm going to do two Lakers teams against each other. So this most recent one with LeBron and AD, my guy Alex Caruso, that team, when they just won, versus Kobe, the 2000 team that won. I would love to see them go against each other, just because there's always that debate and like who's better, you know, LeBron, Kobe, yada yada, all this stuff. I feel like that'd be a really good matchup. So Lakers v Lakers for me. What was that, 2020 versus 2000, I guess?
I think Shaq would have about 50 per game. I don't know who
Shaq versus Anthony Davis.
Right, but so what's Shaq gonna do? Shaq's gonna chase Anthony Davis around.
Yeah, he's just going to get rebounds.
Anthony Davis is going to score some. He's going to score some points.
Shaq,
too, man.
Shaq's just going to chest bump Anthony Davis.
I'm going to go a little bit off the books with mine too. Number one, because I'm a gigantic Miami Heat homer, so I'm going to go the 2013 Miami Heat, which was a great basketball team that people don't want to give credit to because it was the Heat and it was LeBron. They won 27 games in a row. I digress. I will go the 2013 Miami Heat against the 2016 Cleveland Cavs, just because everybody says that Cavs team was the greatest team LeBron's ever played for. It's not. The 2013 team would destroy that Cleveland team. So I will go 2013 Heat versus 2016 Cavs.
I like that one.
Thank you for keeping it in a similar era. That would be the best matchups.
Nice. All
right, moving back. That's right. Moving back to non-sports. You can be any fictional character for one day. Any fictional character for one day. Who would you be? TV show, movie, comic book, doesn't matter. Any fictional character for one day.
So to be clear, so a fictional character, but then you are that person in real life for one day.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough one, man. This is one of those where it's open-ended. You should give your answer first while we think.
I'd be Harry Potter. I'd 1,000% be Harry Potter. I'd have the invisibility cloak messing with people, give some nice spells out there. 100% would be Harry Potter for a day. I think it'd be hilarious.
That's a good one. Gosh, there's so many possibilities.
And you could be. I mean, I thought about Thor, thought about Spider-Man. There's many things I thought about.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'll go ahead and I'm glad that you went along that track. Let me be Iron Man for a day.
No,
I'd like nice. To be like Iron although Rex. Super. Yeah, like superpowers obviously would be amazing. Like just the idea of like flying. Are you kidding me?
Sure.
But to have that suit and also to have his life for a day.
Yeah.
I think I like that. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I could see Rex Road right now. Tony Stark, Joe Rex Road, same guy.
Yeah, totally, totally. Talking, splitting atoms and whatnot. Yeah, no, I like it.
Operating AirPods, they all right there for us together. Yeah. Michelle Knesvic, do you have a fictional character you'd like to be for a day?
See, I feel like this one was really hard because I could go superhero and have like super cool powers, but I just looked it up. I just Googled fictional characters to spark a little imagination. What about Gatsby? I feel like that'd be really cool to have this like bougie house and these extravagant parties and like the old fashioned times and all that. So I'm going to go Jay Gatsby and host all the parties.
Nice.
Very nice.
Well, Scott Fitzgerald on the show. You got to love it.
That's right. All right. Final question of the day. Back to sports. A player that is not a quarterback in football. So a player that is not a quarterback in football, who you'd most like to have on the Titans. You can pick any player in the league that's not a quarterback who you'd most like to have on the Titans. Who would that player be?
So, and are you thinking like this is someone who would be with them for this upcoming playoff run, or like just a long-term addition?
I'm saying long-term addition. You could get them for the playoff run. There's different ways you could take it. So if you wanted to go all in this season and you wanted to get an older guy in there, have at it. If you wanted to build for maybe the longer haul, not knowing about the future and what this window could look like with Derrick Henry, you could do that too. But not a quarterback. Can't have a quarterback.
You want me to go first? Oh.
If you got one, go for it.
I would say Travis Kelce. We need a tight end. We need a little difference in there. So yeah, I'm going to pick Travis Kelce.
So that would be more of a short term. I mean, I guess. I mean, Travis Kelce could be playing for a long time. Who knows? But that would be more of a short term.
He's a spring chicken. He's spring chicken.
Joe Rexroad, what player comes to mind for you?
That's a good pick. I also thought about just like another just ridiculous receiver like a Jamar Chase, on his rookie deal. But I got to go with Aaron Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald and Jeffrey Simmons together. And by the way, then you can like rotate into Nico Autry, move him around. I mean, like what would teams do?
Yeah.
What would teams possibly do if you had Aaron Donald and Jeffrey Simmons playing next to each other? Like, it's got just to see what that would look like would be amazing. So I got to go there.
It's between two guys for me, and both of them are wide receivers. One is Davante Adams because he's the best wide receiver in football, and I think he will be for the next few years anyway. But the other one I'm thinking about is Jamar Chase because that dude's an absolute freak. And what is he, 22? 22 years old? Like, can you imagine AJ Brown and Jamar Chase together? That'd be quite something. So I think my final decision is going to be Jamar Chase. I think I'm going Jamar Chase.
You have no
disrespect
fantasy,
to my
right?
guy Devontae. Oh, I did.
Didn't he have 50 points the other day?
He had 55.
Sealed the deal for you.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. A lot of different ways you could go with that one, but I think I'll go Ja'Marr Chase. Wes saying I would go with either Aaron Donald or Jalen Ramsey. So Wes, big fan of the LA Rams out there. Mark from Clarksville saying Kyle Pitts. Nate texting in saying his fictional character would be Elf. So he would be, I guess, Will Ferrell
from that Elf. Means you have to eat gum. You have to eat gum off like Subway, you know, railing
or but, spaghetti okay. and syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Stuff. Yeah.
Also, Dennis with a question for Rex Road saying, are the Warriors going back in time to play the Bulls? Or are the Bulls going into the future? I feel the way the games were called by the refs could come into play as well.
Ooh. Yeah. That's a good question, actually, but it wouldn't make the difference. But if they went back then, I would agree that the Bulls have a better chance that they could rough up the Warriors more than they could today. But that's also a little bit. Go watch those games. Everybody's not hand-checking everybody into dragging them down. There's a lot more contact around the rim they let go for sure. That's the bigger difference.
I got to vote for T.J. Watt as well as the player.
Well, I thought of that one, too.
Quarterback. Guys, he's about to beat the record. He's about to beat the NFL sack record.
We've seen Watt and Dupree together, you know? But, yeah, I mean, you add a 22 sacks to this defense, that wouldn't be too bad.
I got a text that says the fictional character is Dwight Schrute, no doubt about it, from The Office. Big good stuff. This has been The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll talk to our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and we'll get his thoughts on Derrick Henry returning back to practice and a big matchup coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Texans. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.